There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.
Hi, my name is Lewis Howes, and welcome to the Daily Motivation Show.
Why do you think so many people are judgmental of others?
I mean, I could tell you for myself, and I could tell you from a lot of people I've worked with, is I think we have a low self-worth. It was easy for me to bring somebody down because it made me feel better about myself, right? And it's easier in the moment to be like, oh yeah, screw this person. Oh yeah, that whatever it is that I'm jealous of, or whatever it is that they have that I don't have, my low self-worth that came from, and I could tell you where it came from my dad not being around, because I didn't feel like I got my dad's love. My dad was an alcoholic, and so he wasn't really around. He passed away when I was 15 for being an alcoholic. I ended up finding this out like years down the road when I started working on myself, that I felt like I came second to my dad's love to alcohol.
So he cared more about drinking than spending quality time
right.
with you.
When in reality, as an adult, right, now that I can look at it, I was like, he had traumas that he never overcame, but I felt as a kid, he loves alcohol more than he loves me. That's why he's not showing up for me. And so that's the thought, the subconscious thought that I had, and I never was aware of until my 20s. And so what happened was, because I felt second to him, I felt second to everybody else around me. And so how do I make myself in the moment feel better than everybody else? I wouldn't say anything bad to somebody's face, but in my head, I would judge them, I would be jealous, I would want what they had, whatever it might be, because I need to make myself in this moment feel better than the other person around me, because I just never overcame that pattern at that point in time of feeling like I was second. So the way that I would make myself not feel second and feel better than, and feel number one, was I would judge everyone that was around me.
How did it make you feel when you judged others? And what is that? What do most people feel when they're in judgment of other people?
I mean, we think that it's going to make us feel better, but it makes us feel worse, right? Like, I never felt like, man, I'm so glad I judged that person, right? Right? I never felt that way. And so it was like, I feel like what happened with me is it was like a momentary, like, hit of dopamine. Okay, I'm better than this person. But then in reality, it made me feel even more disconnected from people, right? So I felt more disconnected. And I started pushing my feelings away for years and years and years. There was a moment where I finally came and understood, like, I've put my walls up so much that I'm letting nobody in at all. And it was ruining all of my relationships. And so I think what I did was I would judge other people first. I would try to cut them down in some sort of way because I was so afraid of being vulnerable and being seen, because in my mind, I thought with what happened with my father, like, you can't trust being close to somebody. Like, someone who loves you is going to leave you. And so you can't let somebody in, because that's just, you know, when you look at the root word of vulnerable, it's vulnerar, which means to be wounded, right? I didn't want to be wounded. So I would put up these walls. And there was a moment in my life where I was like, do I just have no feelings? I actually thought that at one
really?
Point in time. Yeah. I was like, do I not have feelings for people? Years down the road, realized I have so much feelings. I think a lot of people feel this way. I've had people, one lady specifically, I remember, she's like, I have no feelings towards anybody. And I was like, actually, what I think it is you have so many feelings, you're afraid of what could happen if you let them out.
Wow.
Like, I'm about a half a second away from crying my entire life. Like, I feel things so much. I swear to God, this is a true story. I was on the way over here and I was listening to Lewis Capaldi or whatever his name was. And I started thinking about, like, how amazing life is. And I started tearing up on the way over here because I was like, I'm so grateful for everything that I have. So I think I'm so close. And I guess from my mom's very emotional too. Like, I'm so close to, like, emotions pouring out. And as a man, like, we're taught, a boy, you know, big boys don't cry, especially in sports, right? So we build up walls. Things happen with my dad. I build up walls. But then I get into relationships, ruined every one of my relationships
really?
With women because of it. And so when I started working with my wife on it, like, I had to, okay, she's getting close. I need to be okay with her getting close, you know?
So how did you break the pattern with her versus ruining all the other relationships?
Yeah. I can literally look back on all my other relationships before her and be like, yeah, I screwed that up, right? And I think that's the point of relationships. And the point of everything is to screw things up so that you can try to get better. Screw it all up so you can figure it out. And so with her, luckily, she's incredible. And the thing that I love most about her is she just gives love. Right. And she's this space of love. And we went to a friend who is in Austin, about 2 years into our relationship, and he's a couples therapist. And he's like, hey, if you and your girlfriend want to come by, just come on by. And I was like, cool, that sounds fun. Let's see what it's like, right? And what he ended up talking to us about is like, we have two different love styles. Like there's the love languages, which is important, but we have two different loving styles, which is hers is an anchor, which means like, she's good. She's in love. Like she's good in love. She shows love. You know, both of her parents are still together, so there's that aspect of it.
She's secure.
She's secure, right? That would be, and she's very secure. Me, on the other hand, is I was what he calls an island, which is like, I'm okay with being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one thing that he said to me that was really interesting is he's like, it's not just about how you relate to each other, like mentally and talking to each other. You also have to be very aware of your nervous systems. And Rob's nervous system lights up whenever you come in too fast. Like with someone who's an island, you take time to warm up in someone's presence.
Mm.
And so that was one thing that really helped us is I'd be sitting, working, trying to grow the business and stuff. She would come in with all this stuff and I'd be like, red flag, red flag, red flag. Like, you know, someone's attacking the fort.
Just loving you.
Just by giving me love. That was
wow.
It. Because it was like, I don't know if this is safe, right? Because I never felt safe
right.
with that, right? And so what happened was we started learning like, okay, it takes me a little bit longer to warm up. So there'd be a few minutes where she would come in, she talked to me and stuff, and then she started giving me love and it was like, oh, now I can receive this. And so for me, it was just like understanding like, okay, there's her love style, there's my love style. There's definitely five love languages that go in there. And really, I think it's more anything else is like, when I look at like what love is, like we see love and as on TV is like head over heels and it's more lust than anything else. And you fall for each other, there's so much love. What I think love is feeling safe in the presence of somebody else where you know you have so much to work on and they have so much to work on. And I feel safe in my wife's presence to work on all of my childhood trauma with her, through her, in being able to try to rewrite that story through her.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of The Daily Motivation, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to click the link in the description that will take you to the full episode of our main podcast on the School of Greatness. And if you are loving The Daily Motivation, please follow us over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts right now. And if you want more exclusive content and ad-free listening experience, make sure to subscribe to our Greatness Plus channel on Apple Podcasts right now. And if you want to get even more inspiration from our world-class guests and learn how to improve your life and take it to the next level, then make sure to sign up for the Greatness newsletter and get it delivered right to your inbox over at greatness.com/newsletter. Again, have an amazing day, and I'll see you tomorrow with another episode of the Daily Motivation Show.
There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.